Howdy, folks, and welcome to the Dead Pit Revival Podcast. I am the Creepy Kentuckian. We wanted to thank you guys for checking out the podcast audio. If you like what you hear on this show, please consider checking us out on Patreon, deadpitonpatreon.com. Thousands of hours of horror talk content. The entire library of the Dead Pit radio shows from 2005 onwards. Fan commentaries. Your occult podcast, all of the midweek / MySpace shows, and more, including a weekly podcast guaranteed every week. It's Patreon's MWO podcast. Tons of stuff on Patreon. So if you like what you hear on this show, consider starting on Patreon with us. The tiers are only $1, and they go all the way up to the baller and shot collar tier. They get you everything, plus you get to request content from the Creepy Kentuckian and Uncle Bill, show topics, whatever you want to do. You know, reviews, show topics, all that good stuff. So, thank you guys once again, and enjoy the show. Keep it creepy. Scream out loud for all that slasher shit.
Yeah, that's that new Metallica song off their new album, Saint Ass.
Big shout out to James Hetfield and the Bulls for doing a new Dead Pit song for us.
Hell yeah. Somebody said it's a great value dancing. What?
It doesn't really sound like,
dancing. Like dancing at all.
No. But welcome everybody to the very first episode. We're delayed by a week, of course, but we're going to try to hit these hopefully every weekend, if not every other weekend throughout the entire summer. And there's a special gimmick with these, Uncle Bill. So we don't want any fucking requests, right?
Right. Like, we're just doing these ourselves. We don't need no help. We appreciate it, but like, no.
Well, the criteria for this, though, is they're movies that we've never gave a proper review to before.
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple criteria to them, really. Of course, they're slasher films. They're slashers that we've never reviewed, but they're also like, I want them to be centered around most like summer themes, like
which most of them are anyway.
Yeah, they are anyway. But I don't want any winter slashers.
That way we can still include Terror at 10 Keeler at some point. Right.
I don't know why you want to do that.
I mean, it's stuff that we've never talked about. And I think that's fun, right? I mean, who the hell gives a shit? Like, I'm sure somebody will request The Burning or Friday the 13th movies or something like that. Yeah. No, we've talked about those movies. These are for the films that have not gotten any love from the Dead Pit universe, baby. And we're starting off with a couple of good ones, and we're going to get to them here in just a little bit. I guess we'll go chronologically. That's normally how we do. But we do have some folks checking us out live in the chats. Adrian James, Justin Smith, Foz Rotten, Witch Hunter, The Mayor, Deep Rot Video, McHorror, Ken Carlson, Vanderhoff 666, Black Peter, your favorite, Justin Smith, Adrian James, Ice Ice Booey's in the house, Grande's Graveyard. So welcome, everybody. If you're a fan of slasher movies, this is for you. We're going to go through, I think, all of them are going to be 80 slasher movies because, I mean, that's the bread and butter of the slasher genre, brother.
Yeah, I was looking at like 90 slasher films, and I mean, there's only like five of them. So there's like five mainstream 90 slasher films, and the rest of them are like shit like Do You Want to Know a Secret?
There was one that I watched recently, Dark Sky Films did, that was a new, and I'll be reviewing it at some point. It had a lot of potential, man. It really did. Like visually, I don't know how they did it. It looked great. It looked like a mainstream movie, but I know that it wasn't. It's called Founders Day is the name of it. It's kind of like a political satire slasher combo in the vein of like
they really did like every holiday, didn't they? Like they got to do Arbor Day where they're planting trees in people's asses and stuff, like some sort of gimmick.
Well, nobody has ever done the one that I come up with.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody will now. It'd be great though.
Right. But this is going to be fun because, like I said, this is something that, you know, these movies, I don't like to repeat myself, Uncle Bill, believe it or not. So that's the one thing. Like when we started this, has to be movies that we have never really talked about before. And the first one I think was your pick, right? Well, I guess we can go ahead and get started because this is not going to be your typical 2 hour Dead Pit stream. We're changing it up a little bit.
Yeah. So I guess like I had never seen this film before Vinegar Syndrome released it recently. And after I saw it, I was like, this is a film that number one would never, ever get made today. In a million years. Number well,
that
two.
Was just for, that was just for the end.
Yeah, just for the ending alone.
Awesome. I laughed out loud so much.
Isn't it killer? Like, I chose it basically just for the ending, to be honest.
The voice that they used made it even better.
Yeah.
You know.
So, but yeah. So, I mean, I hadn't seen it before Vinegar Syndrome put it out. I don't think I'd ever even really heard of it, but it's just one of those
props.
Yeah. It's one of those films that's like the setup is, it's not necessarily a school, but it is. And Vanderhoff says he's let down by the transfer. If you were let down by the transfer of this, then I beg you to go on Tubi because it's on Tubi right now.
Well,
and watch that transfer.
The thing is this was from a 35 millimeter print. It wasn't the negatives and all that was gone. So, or it may have been from a couple of different 35 millimeter prints and they were piecing it together and trying to make it. And is it great? No, but it's by far the best that this has ever looked. Now, up until this release, it was just the VHS tape, which was not easy to find either.
But I swear to you, man, like just for whatever reason, I went and like watched it on, watched part of it again on Tubi. And it looks like a fourth generation VHS tape or something. Like, I mean, I understand the transfer is not like you know, blow your skirt up, but from what they had to work with, like, it is pretty amazing.
Well, that may have been the reason it didn't ever come out on anything before. I mean, the VHS was the last physical media release that it had up until, this is a Blu-ray, right? This isn't, yeah, it's a Blu-ray. Yep. At least they didn't try to go and make a fucking 4K out of it.
That's true. But distributed by Media Home Entertainment back in the day, by the way.
I don't remember the tape, though, in video stores. Do you?
No, I don't remember ever seeing it, period.
Like, I don't think I ever saw it before this release either.
So, you want to actually get into it and, like, talk about, like, what the plot is of the movie, I guess?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and get started. Okay. Fatal Games from 1984 starts with a pretty amazing montage of these athletes at the Falcon Academy Bulls in Massachusetts doing their training and everything. And there's a killer video that pumps everybody up, you know, the music in the video and all that. Uh-huh. I guess they're training to qualify for the Olympics or in all different sorts of different.
It's some sort of a nationals, like pre-Olympic team competitive school. It's not really a high school or anything like that. It's just like completely set up for like the nationals competition to prepare like for the Olympics, I think, which is funny because most of these kids are like awful athletes. they're barely like able to do anything, which like, and you can tell they got maybe one or two people that knew anything about what they were doing, you know, in gymnastics or anything like that. And they just got them to do a couple of moves and they filmed it and that's it. So there's nothing particularly exciting whatsoever about like this team of people.
Now there was another, the killer in this is wearing like a track suit or whatever. Now, wasn't there another slasher movie where the killer had the track suit on?
I think so.
Or am I imagining things?
I think that that's true. But in this one, like it's like a hooded tracksuit, so it's different.
You see? Oh, okay. Yeah. And this killer's got one hell of an arm, too.
This killer kills everyone with a fucking javelin, which is in some of those scenes, man.
Right.
It's some of the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life. Like they're like throwing that javelin and like they're where it's going,
throwing
like,
it from like across
sonic speed.
Like, right. From across a football field and still impaling somebody.
And when they get hit, they go like flying backwards and like, you know, get impaled onto something.
It's just, it's a brutal killer in this one.
I thought that was pretty cool though, to be honest. Like because every other form of like, you know, weapon has been used in these movies. So why not go with like the javelin, to be honest? So, and that's like, that's one that's never been done again.
That's true. This was still kind of early on in the slasher genre too. This was 84. And I don't know if it was the print they were using or if it was on all of the versions of the movie, though. It had like the French title up there with Fatal Games on the print of this Blu-ray. Was this a like a French Canadian production or something or what?
I don't know. I mean, I always thought it was just US, but maybe like, I don't think that it was filmed in Canada or French. It was French Canadian.
French Canada.
French Canada.
We can ask Kevin Owens, maybe he knows.
Talk about it. Go ahead, sir.
I was just going to say, though, that I kind of like the killer with the track suit and the javelin and all this. And it was goofy enough. But, man, like, you're really limited, I guess, on what you can do with a javelin. Like, they're very long. And you pretty much, like, what else can you do with it? I guess you could run and skewer somebody that way with it.
You can stick it up somebody's ass. They didn't do that, but, I mean, that would have been something you could have done. So, as the film progresses, like, one by one, all these, like, student athletes or whatever start to get, you know, killed. And it's kind of a murder mystery too. They're trying to figure out like who's the person that's doing the killing. And there's a couple of like suspects that are pretty obvious, a couple of red herrings on there. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of people in this film that people would probably know just because they've been in a lot of other things.
Would you recognize that ice in that one scene?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's some ice.
There's a stunt ice.
There's stunt ice.
Stunt ice.
But the one that got me, and I was like, this is a bizarre movie for this person to be in, was Sally Kirkland. If anybody remembers Sally Kirkland, she was mildly famous in the '80s. Like,
I don't remember. The '80s. Was she the massage lady? Was that her? Or was it somebody else? The gym teacher.
The gym teacher.
Okay.
So she was, I'm looking at her thing here and trying to figure
out. How old were the athletes in this, though? They had to be, well, at high school age, like pre-qualifying the Olympics, possibly high school age.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, okay. She was in the 70s and 80s. She was in The Way We Were, The Sting, Big Bad Mama, Crazy Mama, A Star Is Born, Private Benjamin, Hawaii Five-O, pretty much all of the sitcoms of the 80s that you can think of. So she was fairly well known
now
at that time.
The lady that I'm talking about, I don't know if it was Sally Kirkland or what. I didn't recognize anybody in this movie personally. There's a scene where I guess it's a trainer. She was a trainer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And that'll lead up to something a little bit later on in the movie too, which we probably won't give it away just because it's so fucking funny. But yeah. Like, there is a ton of gratuitous nudity in this movie.
There's a little bit, yeah.
So if you're down with that, you're going to appreciate this. But yeah, there's a scene where this adult trainer is massaging another girl's ass, bare ass.
Yeah.
She's completely naked, right?
Yeah.
And it's like close-up shots of her ass. And right. The actress that played that character was not obviously not comfortable doing that. So they used stunt ass, Uncle Bill. And you stunt know who ass. The best stunt ass of all time is?
Yeah, I do know who it is, but I don't know if this is the same person, but the best stunt ass of all time is Demi Moore.
No, it's Linnea Quigley.
Oh, is it Linnea Quigley?
Yeah, it was Linnea Quigley in that shot. They hired her for a day to get her ass rubbed, I think, what I'd read.
Yeah, Demi Moore is...
I think Demi Moore was already semi-known at this point. She wasn't doing no stunt ass work.
Was she in 84, I guess? Like,
blame it on Rio. What year was that? That was kinda. Like the first... I don't know. That may have been like 82, 83. Fucking my cocaine. But, yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun with this. Now, the pacing in it, there's some issues towards the end. I don't know how many, the director of this, Michael Elliott, does anybody want to look up if he did much of anything else after this? I don't know. But
so I
liked it overall.
Just so you know, though, like Sally Kirkland plays Diane in this movie. She plays the, well, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, we'll get to it later. She is the...
Blame it on Dio.
Dio, big killer movie.
That'd be a good shirt, actually. Thanks for the idea, Jackson Jack.
So it's really like up until the end, like a fairly typical slasher film, except for the javelin, right? Like, I mean, it reminds you of like... the way that it looks kind of reminds me of like all those other slasher films from like the early 80s. You know, name any of them that you can think of. I don't want to name the one I am thinking of because it's got a bad.
Well, there's great score in this too. The synth score in it, which I think Wes Ray was talking about last week, the fart synth that they use throughout, like,
yeah.
And then the beginning of the movie, it just gets you amped up. And I've got this song ready, Uncle Bill, if you want
to get down. For this shit.
This is Take It All The Way, which Uncle Bill knows a lot about. Let's go, boys.
Oh, get ready.
So this sort of music just gets me hopped up all day long.
Like, I just listened to this song and it's still like, it's the perfect montage music, which is what it is in the movie too. It's showing all of them doing, like, you got to envision, like, all of them doing, like, different sports.
Yeah, they're diving.
Swimming and, yeah, gymnastics.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Take it all the way.
I just love that. That's great. And both of these movies we're talking about has some great music in it. I think the overall score in this one was probably better, though.
I just, I don't know. I can't say enough good things about, like, the only problem is the middle of the movie, and this was a huge problem for a lot of like 80s slasher films, that the middle of the movie is just awful in terms of just being really, really slow. And, you know, every now and then somebody will get javelined to death, which is great.
That song probably was made in 5 minutes. Take it all away.
I'm sure it was, yeah. By somebody that was basically probably the equivalent to you or I, just that had like musical instruments.
Have a bass. That's what it could be, just that yeah. whole thing.
Take it all the way now. You can do everything you want to do. Take it all the way. You can do everything you want to do.
You can go to the limit and shit all the way yourself now. Take it all the way. But this was the original artwork for it as well. So Fatal Games has had a bunch of different... I think there's a separate artwork for the VHS tape too, but, I mean, this is one, as far as if you're into 80s slashers movie, this is still considered what an early 80s slasher movie almost. I believe it's one you need to have in your collection. Now I'm not that picky when it comes to these sort of things, so you may not want to listen to me. What do you think about it, Uncle Bill?
I mean, it's not a great film by any stretch of the imagination, but like, for coming from somebody that's seen like as many early 80s slasher films as like I can find, like, it's good. It's okay. I would recommend that like anybody watches it. I think it's better than like fucking Final Exam or any of that shit.
Oh, it's definitely better than Final Exam. No doubt. It's entertaining. Got gratuitous nudity in it. The twist ending at the ends, which I don't know.
We haven't even talked about that yet, but like, I don't know how you can talk about how great this movie is without bringing up the ending. I won't bring it up just because like, there's probably a lot of people that haven't seen that movie yet. But when you get to the ending, just realize that like, that's an ending that would never, ever be done today. That's an ending that like will never be done again, probably. But it's fucking hilarious for several different reasons. Like,
Yeah, buddy. The,
fucking,
we'll say, okay, like, we can say this.
Yeah.
There's a similar ending in another horror movie that's way more well known.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they were right around the same time they were made, I think. So I don't know who did it first, but when it comes to 80 slasher movies, this one checks off pretty much everything. I mean, I don't think there's that many good death scenes in it or anything. It's how many good death scenes can you do with a javelin stick or whatever the hell it's
called? There's a couple of good ones actually, but the big payoff for this movie to me is that ending. Get your ass back here, Annie.
Right, buddy. So, and also wanted to let you guys know, since we do have 115 people checking us out live, we do have a live poll, and I thought it'd be good to do some fan interaction here. Which movie that we're talking about tonight is the better slasher movie? We've got
What everybody's going to say.
Fatal Games 1984 versus Cheerleader Camp 1988. Right now, Cheerleader Camp is ahead quite a bit, but they got to take it all the way to the end of the show. We'll let you know now.
Take it all the way. Get ready to vote, and then we'll put your shit up.
Kentucky Cunctator's really... He's putting
losing
over Final Exam. There's some people that like Final Exam. That's okay. That's fine.
There's some people like Get Pissed On, too.
There's some people like the Nightmare on Elm Street remake as well. Unhinged and Sleepaway Camp have very similar ending. I don't remember Unhinged.
You don't remember Unhinged?
We watched it.
It's one of the most boring fucking movies of all time.
It is very bad. I remember that. I think you bought it on DVD back in the day, and
it has one of the best covers and one of the most deceptive covers of all time for what the movie actually is. Like, you look at the cover of it and you're like, oh my God, this is going to be a bloodbath and like awesome slasher film. No,
it's a piece of trash.
Nothing happens at all.
So yeah, continuing on though, we'll get on to the next one from 1988. John O'Quinn, who, that was one of our Through the Mail autograph guys. I don't know if you remember that, but
yep.
Back when he passed away quite a few years ago, but, yeah, we briefly chatted with him over, Through the Mail correspondence, very nice guy. But I think like his main experience before this movie was adult films. So this was his foray, and slasher movies were very popular still around this time. I mean, this was the later part of the 80s. But this one kind of mixes comedy in there quite a bit with slasher, gratuitous nudity as well. There is some pretty good death scenes in this one too. This is one that I had never seen until I don't know if you remember this, Horror Find Weekend in 2004 in the Anchor Bay Room, they were screening this movie. And I think it was you and I that was watching it pretty much. Cause like at conventions then, this was a new thing to us. I was like, oh shit, you can watch movies up on a projector and all that. So that was the first time that I had seen the movie. I mean, how about you? I don't remember seeing the videotape or anything back in the day.
No, I don't. I know the first time I ever saw it was on DVD. And I remember watching it vaguely, but I can never remember anything about it. Like, I've watched it two or three different times and just can't keep up. Like, I just can't be forced to remember anything about the movie. It's got a great cast. It's got like an amazing
Betsy Russell.
Yeah. Betsy Russell. You got Leif Garrett. You got Lucinda Dickey. You got Buck Flowers in this son of a bitch. Right.
You got that guy that plays Timmy. He's good. Mm-hmm. Shows his ass crack.
That's true. That guy. He was in Roadhouse too. Yeah. He was like the big dude that was in Roadhouse.
That was right around the same time, I think.
And it's just hilarious to see him in that movie too, doing all that shit that he does.
But yeah, like I'd watched this one last week or whatever. Yeah. Like you know, I'd seen it a couple of times. We'd gotten the DVD, but it'd been many, many years since I watched this thing. And what's weird is, you know, we were talking to some people about this. John O'Quinn passed away whenever they were doing the DVD of Cheerleader Camp. I think he personally owned all that. So I think now the deal is nobody knows where that shit is. I don't know if his family may have thrown it out. But yeah, Sleepaway Camp has been absent on any sort of physical media for over 20 years at this point. I think the DVD came out in 2004.
Wait, you mean Cheerleader Camp?
What'd I say? Cheerleader Sleepaway Camp.
Sleepaway Camp's been out for a while.
Well, Sleepaway Camp's kind of out of print too, but Cheerleader Camp has been out of print for 20 years. I think the DVD came out in 2004 from Anchor Bay, and that is still the only way to see it legally. There is a HD YouTube link if anybody wants to check it out. And it looks pretty good. I don't know where they got it, if it aired in HD on one of those channels back in the day, possibly. But this is a lot of fun. This movie is a hell of a lot of fun.
I got to tell you, though, watching this movie back, I'm like, there are things that happen in this movie that don't make a lick of fucking sense. Like, right, some of the way that the characters in the movie react to certain things, and you're just like, how the hell, like, this would never, ever happen in real life. I mean, at all.
Well, the crazy thing is there is, I think Killing Touch was an alternate name for Fatal Game. So there's alternate titles for both of these movies too. Bloody Pom Poms is what this one is known as well. But yeah, there is stuff in this that really doesn't lead to anywhere, but they were kind of throwing the red herring thing out quite a bit in this movie. wanting you to think, hey, it's so and so. Nope, it's probably them. It could be her. Yeah, that was typical in these movies. But a lot of this stuff didn't really come back around and make any sense at all, is what you're saying, right?
Well, okay, I'll give you an example. So there's a scene like in the beginning of the movie, and I was watching it, and it was so one of the girls that's at the cheerleader camp supposedly like slits her wrist or whatever. And like everybody's reaction to that is just to be like, oh fuck, just stuff her in a refrigerator or something. Fuck. We got stuff to do. And then they just put her away somewhere. Nobody calls the cops or does anything. This is like the leader of the camp or like one of the head
right
like women that's at the camp. They just
camp hurrah
refrigerator, and then they just leave her, and everybody's just like, okay, let's get on with business. Shit, we got cheers to do.
Well, and there's also the Betsy Russell's character. What in the hell was her name? Allison.
Yeah.
She has these dreams throughout the entire movie, especially in the beginning or whatever. And you can tell like they're totally playing off of Nightmare on Elm Street in the dream sequences. Like that was clearly the inspiration. And that didn't lead to nowhere at all either. I mean, that's another thing that was just like, okay, she's just having dreams, whatever.
When I was watching that, the only thing I could think of was if we ever do another video again, there's some point in that video for us to have like a dream sequence and have a bunch of shit in it that doesn't make sense. Like it was her like just running through this stadium and her mom and dad are there or whatever. And they're just they're all mad at her or whatever. They're just like, fuck you.
You suck, Beth. Fuck you.
And then like her pom-poms cut her arm somehow or another. Like, yeah, we've got to have something in a fucking video of us having a dream sequence where stuff like that starts happening to us.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
So, but yeah, I mean, we'll get into cheerleader camp here, AKA Bloody Pom Pom Baby from 1988. It's set at a cheerleader camp, Uncle Bill. Have you ever heard of a cheerleader camp? Does that exist?
I'm sure they existed at some point. Yeah. I've never actually heard of one though.
And
there's the dream sequence right there though, where she's running through the thing, but you got Terry Wiegel. I forgot about her being this too.
Pamela and the other.
She was also in the classic Annie Lee's Meat Pies. So let's not forget that. And a bunch of other.
Yeah. And talk about, man, like, well, there's a lot of good looking girls in this actually. And a lot of gratuitous nudity as well.
Lots
so the lead there's character. Lucinda. Yeah. Lucinda Dickey is in this playing the character of Corey. She's the mascot that's kind of made fun of by all the cheerleaders. Lori Griffin, the blonde in this too, was in Teen Wolf.
Yep. And I know the girlfriend of the main guy in Teen Wolf.
Yeah. We mentioned Terry Wiegel. There's the fat guy played by Travis George, the fat horny guy, Timmy.
Timmy.
Who, man, like I hope he was well paid because he did some very fucking like
questionable stuff in this. Yeah.
Buck Flowers in this too. But yeah, I mean, it's basically they're all getting picked off at this cheerleader camp. Allison continues to have these nightmares. And everybody at camp's become target of this unknown killer. And there is some goofy comedy stuff mixed throughout as well. There's a shot where
that guy's basically the comic relief, to be honest. Yeah. Like he's the whatever that just goes through the film tries to make like, you know, jokes and stuff. Throughout, there's always like one of those guys in all 80s slasher films.
Well, within the first 10 minutes of the movie, you see his ass crack. Like he's mooning the other cheerleaders. And he gets his ass stuck in the window.
Which I don't know how you do that, but I guess he did.
And then there's another scene too. Like he's carrying around with a video camera as well. Like that's another one of his gimmicks. And trying to get shots of the girls naked, right? Which would not be good to do now. You wouldn't be bragging about doing something like that. There was the scene too where he's dressed up like an old fat woman.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't really see any of that stuff anymore. Yeah.
Probably shouldn't. do any of that now. So aspects of this movie have definitely not aged well. But man, they don't, unfortunately they don't make movies like this anymore. I love, like, this is when I was, I didn't see this as a kid, but this was the sort of like horror movie or slasher movie that I would have been drawn to when I was a kid.
Well, Dick Fitzwill, now that you mention it, Terry Wydell was the first person to get naked in this movie. Like, almost immediately she's naked.
Jeez, untainted. No problem. She was untainted, too. This is before she did adult film. So, man, it's sad to see what, you know, what she turned into with, you know, I guess that's what the wrath of 8,700 dicks will do over the years. But, but beautiful girl then, man. 1988.
It's like a car washer dicks just hitting you. Oh, God.
Yeah. Being smacked by 8,700 dicks will do some damage.
Messes you up. Oh, anyway.
But top shelf 1988 cheerleader camp, Terry Wygale. Ooh, baby.
I was waiting on Lucinda Dickey to get naked too, but I don't think she ever does. But like, I mean, everybody in this film is insanely hot, especially Betsy Russell and Terry Wygale. But
didn't you think, though, that Betsy Russell, like, she didn't come across as the star of the movie to me for some reason?
The only thing I could think of when I saw her in this was, like, she's had a ton of work done. Because if you look at her then, and then you look at her, like, in the Saw films, like, it doesn't look like the same person. It was really kind of odd. I was like, that didn't even look like her, like, the way that she looked in those movies. But it is.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine even then she was probably really young when they made this movie, I think, right?
She's probably not as old as we think.
She's probably in her, when she was doing those Saw movies, she was probably in her mid 40s.
Yeah. I wonder how old she was. Let's see if I can find out real quick. So it was made in what, 87?
Yeah, probably made in 87.
She was 24.
Oh, okay.
In that movie. Yep.
And the Saw sequels, she started those in what, 2007 or so?
Something like that.
So yeah, she would have been in her mid 40s. So that's not really that old.
But anyway, like, I mean, there's not really a plot to this movie, if I'm being honest. There's a bunch of like silly shit that happens, and like,
yeah,
if there is any plot to it, it's just that like all these cheerleaders in this camp get murdered one by one, and Betsy Russell thinks she's losing her goddamn mind.
That's Leif Garrett's in this too. He plays a character, Brent. He's kind of like he is Allison's boyfriend, but he's a dickhead too. So he's wanting to get some strange from Terry Wygale, and he pisses everybody off. And you know, it's Leif Garrett. I mean, he's got to play like a kind of a douche.
True. Do you ever wonder though,
about
Betsy Russell though? Like when she was in those Saw movies and everybody was making a big deal about it at that time, I just couldn't help but think, why? Who the fuck is she? Like, was she ever really popular to where it would make sense that people would be marking out for her coming back?
Betsy Russell. Did she take a long time off from films or something?
Yeah. I mean, there was a thing where she like, I read something where she like took off all this time to raise her kids and then come back. But like, I don't remember her being a star really.
No, definitely. I wouldn't say that. And I wouldn't say that she did that great of a job in this movie either, to be honest. I mean, she did okay, but to me, like she didn't have that in this movie here. She didn't have that lead. Like, I don't know, the it factor for a lead in a movie. It just didn't come across to me in cheerleader camp. Now, I like this movie a lot. I thought this is a fun movie. Pretty much the entire cast did a great job in it. I just think that Betsy Russell was not, I don't know, there was something missing there with her character, I think. She didn't have the Heather Langenkamp vibe that she needed.
She was in Avenging Angel, by the way, but that was before this movie. That was in 85. She was also in a movie called Tomboy, which I kind of remember the cover of that film from the video store days. But like, I don't know. I don't think she was famous And I don't know why people made a big deal about her coming back for Saw, but they did.
Dick Fitzwill said that she had taken 15 years off. Now, since the Saw movies, has she done much anything else either?
No.
I don't guess she has to, really, does she?
I mean, she's married to some producer or something.
Oh, is she? Anthony Bethy Russell, baby. Bethy. Evans to Bethy. You know, Lucinda Dickey's married to, I think, the guy that created Survivor or something like that.
Jesus. So
she's well off, too.
She ain't never going to do Ninja 4 then, is she?
They can't hire. Yeah, they can't pay her enough money. I wonder what Travis George is doing now. Is he still getting his ass stuck in windows? haven't heard anything from him.
Oh, God. Poor fucker.
There was a couple of really good death scenes in Cheerleader Camp. Terry Weigel's death scene is pretty memorable.
Yeah.
It's shot. I thought it was well made. It's a shame that if, you know, all of that source material is missing or whatever, that we may never, ever get like a special edition of this. But it is in HD on YouTube, I guess. You can watch
it. Let me ask you a question, though. Because when I went into this again to watch it, I was like, I know there's going to be a lot of amazing kills in this movie, but there really wasn't, though. There was like one good kill, which was Terry Weigel, and I don't remember any of the other ones being really worth shit. It was always like you found a body afterwards or something like that. You saw something.
Their entrails were hanging out in the woods.
Yeah, but there was no good real special like makeup effects or anything in this movie.
I think in the time frame they were making this too, this was 88. So the MPAA was really like cracking down on what you could put. You know, I didn't give a fuck about nudity, obviously,
no.
When it comes to gore and stuff like that. There weren't too many around this time period that were getting away with that sort of thing anymore. Maybe that was part of it. But yeah, I mean, there's not an abundance of good death scenes or gore or anything like that. There's a couple. But one of my favorite things in this, and this will lead us to this clip that I've got ready too, is there's a song in this too.
Yep.
Uncle Bill, and it's catchy. It may be even more catchy than Take It All the Way. And this is a rap song. So I guess it was like the late 80s, Biz Markie and Tone Loke, and everybody was inspiring everybody all across the globe to come up with their own rap song. So this is the Cheerleader Camp rap.
She comes out with a bam, and we'll tell you this, she ain't no sham. Next is Bonnie, she acts kinda funny. Steal your heart, but not your money. Can't forget Teresa, she's got what it takes. Putting her on this team was no mistake. Last is Dory, and this is her story. She's our gator, you'll be seeing her later.
Bloody Pom Pom.
There you go, Wolves. She's their gator, and she'll be seeing them later.
Oh, God. I hope that's true. So, somebody wrote, Code Red Bill started interviewing Teresa Russell for a special feature in the banana suit. She told him to take it off or she was leaving. You mean Betsy? Who the fuck is Teresa Russell?
I don't know who Teresa Russell is.
I'm assuming that's Betsy Russell.
The Teen Witch rap was Top That or something, right?
Oh, God.
Do you remember when we saved that for Halloween one year and watched it?
Yep.
And I was almost embarrassed to leave it. I completely forgot about how, like, cringy some of that shit was.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was bad. That may be one of the worst rap songs of all. It wasn't even in time. Like, they didn't even have the beat. Wasn't even going with the lyrics or anything like that. Make any fucking sense at all.
Her name is Bonnie. She acts kind of funny. Does she?
Yep.
So, Cheerleader Camp, Bulls. I mean, it's not an easy one to track down on physical media. But it is on YouTube. If anybody wants to check it out, it is on there in HD somehow. So I would actually highly recommend both of these movies. And we do have a poll up if you guys want to pick the best slasher of the two. So we may be doing something with, we're going to try to do a couple of different slashers each week and maybe do something at the end of the summer where you can vote and see what the best cruel summer slasher is. Don't that sound like it's fun, Uncle Bill?
Cruel summer slasher.
It's innovative and
you know. It's using technology.
Yeah, that's how we do it here at Dead Pit. We're high-tech rednecks, Mayberry meets Star Trek.
So before we get into that kind of shit, though, I think I probably already know the answer to this, but what was your favorite of these two?
I would say slightly. I liked them both, actually, pretty close, but I would say Cheerleader Camp slightly. I liked it a little bit better, I believe.
I think the reason why Cheerleader Camp might be a little bit better, even though it makes no sense in a lot of ways, is it's like a combination of Meatballs and a slasher film. It's like a really shitty 80s like teen comedy, like sex comedy mixed with like a slasher film. It's actually more of a teen comedy than it is a slasher film, really.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it does have that goofy sort of vibe and lots of gratuitous nudity as well. They're kind of playing jokes on Timmy quite a bit. The girls are so, but man, like both of these have great gratuitous nudity, which I think is a must in 80s slashers. I think they're both kind of unique as well. The twist ending in Cheerleader Camp. Do you think people would see that coming? Like when I first saw it, initially I didn't, have any idea on who it was.
Yeah. And I think the main end scene, actually kind of made me happy for some reason, because that's like the perfect way to end a goofy ass movie like that. You know the scene I'm talking about, or like,
yeah, where she's doing the cheer or whatever.
I was like, yeah, that's pretty perfect for that. Yeah.
And like Lucinda Dickey, I love her in everything that she ever did. Like I don't understand why that she didn't do more movies, really. I mean, did she meet that producer guy not long after this or what? Because she's great. Like everything probably that she's ever in, I thought she did great in.
You're right. I mean, she was a really good actress, and she had like a really like a girl next door kind of look to her. And she was really immensely charismatic and likable, but like, I'm looking here and here's her filmography, man. No joke. Cheerleader Camp was the last film she really did.
Wow.
So she did Grease 2 in 82, Breaking in 84, Ninja 3 in 84, Breaking 2 in 84,
Cheerleader Camp
in 88. And then the only other thing she's done is like a documentary about the Cannon films.
So three of those movies were all in the same year.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And then she hasn't done anything since. So I'm guessing, if I had to guess, that it says here she retired from acting in 1990. So she lives with her husband, who's that producer. I'm betting that they met around that time.
What's her husband's name? I know he's produced more than Survivor, but Survivor, I think, was the big show.
Yeah, her husband's name is Craig Pilligan.
Okay.
A co-executive producer of, among other things, the reality TV show Survivor.
Money. There's some recent interviews.
Holy shit, dude. You got to hold on a second. This guy's got a fucking amazing resume. You ready for this?
Sure.
No wonder she ain't done nothing. As an executive producer, he's best known for creating The Ultimate Fighter, American Chopper, Dirty Jobs, and the series for Discovery Channel, as well as being the executive producer of Survivor.
Dang.
So, yeah.
So, Craig Pilligan, boys, he's, and he gets to lay down next to Lucinda Dickey every night.
Yep.
Who actually, there's recent interviews with her. She's actually still looks pretty damn good for her age. What is up, Russell? 6 months he has been a member of the Dead Pit YouTube family, boys.
Hell which, yeah.
If anybody wants in on some exclusive content and all that good stuff, you can go over to Dead Pit on Patreon or the YouTube page and become a member. It's pretty killer. It's well worth money, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for $5, you can get all kinds of stuff. And we recommend at least that you do the $5 tier.
We do have the
We do, yeah.
We do have the Baller and Chalk Collar spot open up. Somebody wants to book one of these shows. You basically get to run the show, one show a month, whatever you want. The review, commentary, show topic, whatever. But deadpitonpatreon.com, motherfucker, yeah. So essentially, this is the plan for the Summer Slashback. Now, still have the poll up, and it's not that close. So I'm going to go ahead and end it. 41% for Fatal Games, Cheerleader Camp at 59%, 81 votes. So we appreciate everybody.
That's actually making closer than I thought, to be honest.
Yeah, there's some love for both for sure. Oh man, Rambo has never seen Cheerleader Camp. It has a couple of decent death scenes in it, but yeah, as far as like gratuitous gore, not really. Gratuitous nudity, it does have a lot of that in it.
A lot of that. If you want to see a film with like gratuitous nudity, though, if I'm being honest with you, like Invisible Maniac, everybody needs to see that movie. It has the most gratuitous nudity I've ever seen for like just a regular film.
Well, maybe that'll be one that we talk about.
That's true.
This summer. Possibly. But now's the part of the show where we unveil the films that we are taking a look at next week or the next show, whenever that is.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. For Freddy.
Start playing the fucking DX thing. So my pick for the next film in the Summer Slashback series is going to be one that Troma had for a really, really long time. And Vinegar Syndrome also released this one. And it's one that I don't think we've ever talked about. Maybe in passing once or twice or something like that.
Not in any detail, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Which is Graduation Day. Which I also think meets all the requirements for what we're looking for in these films, too.
Yeah, that was another one from what, early 80s, like 81, 82, something like that. And the one that I picked is one that I still have never seen that I've had over here on Blu-ray. And it was like, I'm going to finally watch this and we're going to talk about it. I've heard a lot of people say a lot of great things about this one. From 1987, Twisted Nightmare, which has only been released one time on Blu-ray. And it was during the era that Code Red was doing shit without a UPC code on it. So I don't know what the quality's like on it. But Twisted Nightmare is available. It's also available on YouTube. And we had a couple people requesting that too. So there's a graphic. Well, look how professional we are.
Look at that.
We are fucking professionals here at Dead Pit. But I think that those are going to be some fun ones too. And hey, if you've got suggestions, you can always throw them our way. We might pay attention to you. Who's to say? I think Tarot 10 Killer is one we have to do.
Oh, God damn. Do we have to, like, that's like saying we have to do the Last Slumber Party. Like, man, those movies.
Oh, I don't. We'll see.
I mean, ain't no count. Garrett brings
see.
Up Night Screams, which I thought for sure, man. I thought for sure that I was going to love Night Screams. It's got everything you would think. Like from the outside, that would be amazing about like a slasher film. And I just fucking couldn't have hated it anymore, really. I mean, it's not as bad as Last Slumber Party or Tarot 10 Killer, but it's not good.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of ones that we can choose from. We got all summer long. So if anybody has any other ones you want us to take a look at, let us know. We may already be on our radar. Who's to say? Garrett liked Night Screams, he said.
He just liked it because it had the one dude from Cobra Kai in it. And I don't like it. And he's like, yeah.
Jim says that Tarot 10 Killer is amazing, Uncle Bill. What's wrong with you?
I don't know who Jim is, but Jim has some shit taste in film.
We're sorry, Jim. We love you, but
nothing happens in that movie, man. Like, how could that be amazing? It's like,
you know,
watching the grass grow is amazing or something.
That reminds me of another one where you said nothing happens in that movie. The 1981 Scream movie.
Oh God. That might be the most boring film of any of the ones that we mentioned too.
I think that's the most boring 80s slasher movie that I've ever seen, probably.
Yeah.
Scream from 1981, which has a Blu-ray and a 4K. Why would somebody buy that in 4K? I don't know. I'm confused. But it's out. I think her buddy, Roman Reigns' doppelganger, or he thinks he is, David DeFalco. Is that his name, David DeFalco? You're muted. You muted yourself, asshole.
I'm sorry. Are you talking about the guy from Dark Force?
Yeah. Demon Dave.
Yeah.
Demon Dave. Silent Madness is a pretty good one. I like Silent Madness. One other thing that reminded me that we didn't mention in Fatal Games. Have you ever heard of retardation injections, Uncle Bill? I'd never heard of that until this movie. That's what they call it in the movie. What is that?
Fuck. It's not what you think. It's not like, I'm not getting in this. It's not what you're thinking it is, though.
Right, but why they call it that? I've never heard it called that before. You're talking about steroids, right?
Well, it's like...
Give me some of that juice, brother.
Oh, God. I think it just means that it keeps something from occurring, like, naturally. Not to give away the film or anything like that, but, like, yeah. It doesn't mean... I'm not doing it.
Well, that's what they call it.
Okay. I'm just saying it's more medically based than that. Although.
It's like fire retarded, right? Yeah.
There's some people that I know that may have had those injections. Oh, God.
They ought to take it all the way.
Get your ass outside and take it in the butt all day.
That's what Uncle Bill has to do now. Take it all the way. Ball deep in his butt and it goes crazy.
This shit's going off the rails quick.
Oh, that is it, guys. The next thing that we're going to do on a live stream is coming up on Thursday night. Unfortunately, we have got the duty to watch and review Alien 3 and I Spit on Your Grave, Deja Vu.
Oh, God. I still haven't watched I Spit on Your Grave. Like, I'm trying to wait until the last minute that I can.
I'm probably going to watch it again with Joe Bob's commentary, I think.
Speaking of retardation injections.
Dino! What's going on, Dino? But, yeah, I mean, hey, we appreciate everybody tuning in and everything. Now, the plan is to always make these like an hour long, brief, changing up a little bit. Any suggestions, throw it our way. But we will catch you guys for the sequelitis this coming Thursday on the original Horror Talk Radio Show over at DeadBits.com.
Give us the thumbs up.